Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
It is the day before the day. And even though this year has been severely jacked up in a way that we have never seen before, I do truly hope that all of you have the very best possible Thanksgiving holiday that you can have, given the circumstances. And I do mean that, truly and sincerely. Because right about now, every last one of us deserves the four F's. Food, family, football, and some freaking time off from this cursed trip around the sun. But why don't we talk and focus on food and football? Those are the two stars of the show tomorrow, as they always are. When it comes to the food, most of the spreads are actually pretty similar because most spreads are traditional. Turkey, of course, maybe some ham, mashed potatoes, gravy, the disgusting green bean casserole, stuffing, cranberry relish, yams, bread rolls, pies. I mean, sure, some of you might kind of go off the program or off the menu and get funky with it, try to jam a duck inside of a chicken, inside of a turkey, and have yourself a turducken. And yes, a vegetarian might bring a tofurkey substitute. An in-law might branch out and do something truly whack with sweet potatoes and marshmallows. But for the most part, whatever lands on the table tomorrow is not going to cause any kind of great double take. We know what we're getting. We know what to expect. Meaning, you're not going to see anything on any table that's going to stop you dead in your tracks and make you reassess your life. Unless you're at Patrick Mahomes' house tomorrow. Because Mahomes is bringing the one thing to Thanksgiving that none of us have ever seen before on any of our tables. And you already know where I'm going with that. You already know exactly what I'm talking about. Check out my man on KCSP 610 Sports Radio yesterday.
Everybody always talks about you put ketchup on everything, bro. Tell me you don't put ketchup on turkey.
Yeah, dude. I mean, come on. You got to put ketchup on that. Turkey and ham.
Get the hell out of here. You're joking, right? You don't really... on the Thanksgiving turkey, you put ketchup on it?
Oh, yeah, man. Come on. You know me better than that.
So, did my man just say that he puts ketchup on the bird and on the spiral ham? Did I hear that correctly?
Everybody always talks about you put ketchup on everything, bro. Tell me you don't put ketchup on turkey.
Yeah, dude. I mean, come on. You got to put ketchup on that. Turkey and ham.
Get the hell out of here. You're joking, right? You don't really... on the Thanksgiving turkey, you put ketchup on it?
Oh, yeah, man. Come on. You know me better than that.
So, like, I know what you're thinking. There is an adult table. There is a kid's table. And Patrick Mahomes and his bottle of Hunt's do not belong at either table. Because who in the hell would bring ketchup to Thanksgiving? Who in the hell would put ketchup on turkey and ham? Who in the hell does this guy think he is? Great question. And I am the one, and I am here to answer it. He's Patrick freaking Mahomes.
Mahomes?
Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl MVP, NFL MVP, the second coming of Dan Marino, except with crazy postseason success. The owner of the richest contract in sports history, a half billion with a B, a half billion dollar man, a two-time Pro Bowler, a first-team All-Pro, an NFL Offensive Player of the Year, and the fastest player ever to reach 10,000 yards passing. A guy who could pretty much throw completions and dimes left-handed with his eyes closed. A quarterback who surgically dissected the Raiders to win that game Sunday night and made it look way too easy. A guy who gave his high school sweetheart a ring on the same day the Chiefs gave him one. So, who does this guy think he is bringing ketchup to Thanksgiving? The better question would be, who the hell are any of you or us to question it? Question it. We should all be copying it. The man's got the world by the short hairs. He's a deadlock for Canton, and he's only played 40 NFL games. I'm starting to think the ketchup is the ultimate PED. And Mahomes is the ultimate proof of concept. I mean, not only is he doing it, but what I really love is how confident he has become in his love for the tomato sauce. I mean, it's not that long ago that he was too embarrassed to ask for ketchup with his steak. His mom tells that story that she would have to smuggle a bottle into restaurants and sneak it to him under the table because he didn't want people to see him saucing up his ribeye with the 57. Now he gets the question, and he literally says, "Yeah, dude, come on now. You got to put ketchup on that. Yeah, man, you know me better than that."
Everybody always talks about you put ketchup on everything, bro. Tell me you don't put ketchup on turkey.
Yeah, dude. I mean, come on. You got to put ketchup on that. Turkey and ham.
Get the hell out of here. You're joking, right? You don't really... on the Thanksgiving turkey, you put ketchup on it?
Oh, yeah, man. Come on. You know me better than that.
If he weren't such a good dude, and like he's the best dude, he would have gone all Evel Knievel for sure. A proper response would have been, "You know who the hell I am? You know who the hell I am? What's up, Evel? I miss you, bro." Look, I'm not even here to wage some tired, stupid war on ketchup and whether or not it belongs on hot dogs or steak or even turkey or ham. I'm here to say I might try it. I might be giving it a try. Clearly, it works for Patrick Mahomes. Now, I'll tell you something else. It sounds a hell of a lot better than eating avocado ice cream. I don't need to tell Mahomes this, but I will. Keep doing you, man. Keep doing you. Keep lathering the red on whatever the hell you want. Put it in your cereal for all I care. Hell, hit your applesauce with it for all I care. Hit your mustard with it. Mix your condiments. Man, do whatever the hell you want, Patrick. Because it's working. And at this point, nobody should be questioning anything this guy does ever again. And if there wasn't COVID, I would tell you to save me a seat tomorrow and to pass the freaking ketchup.
Get the hell out of here. You're joking, right?
No.
Turkey and ham.
Turkey and ham.
Oh, yeah, man. Come on. You know me better than that.
I'm not asking are you or why you. Why are you? I'm asking, is there anything that he won't hit ketchup with? I'd love to know the thing that he wouldn't hit ketchup with. What, Wheaties? Donuts? Brad in Corona. What's going on, Brad? How are you?
Okay, Jim. How are you?
Wow, bro. You sound like something's bothering you. What's going on?
Well, I want to weave this into an ACP. Have you seen that Greg Norman photo?
No, Brad, I haven't. Which one?
Oh, let me just, well, it's out there. Check the interwebs, Jim. You can find it, okay?
Okay.
Just a quick synopsis. It's taken me 42 years to get comfortable with the size of my penis, Jim, and Greg Norman ruined that with one beach photo. I mean, I've heard of turtlenecks, but, Romy, this thing is like a swim parka. I just don't know that I'd be taking something like that to the beach, you know? How do you even clean that thing out when you're done? You just stand up and shake it off like some big beach blanket.
Anytime, Alvin.
No.
Anytime,
like
Alvin.
I don't like that color. Not a very good call.
Alvin, whether or not, and again, I would handle it myself, but I can't. I don't have the button in front of me. Alvin has complete authority and autonomy to run things like that. Bro, there are at least five extremely regrettable references that he made. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? I'm not being rhetorical about this. I mean, what were you waiting for? Bradley. That's why he's the best. That's why he's a five-time champ. Hey, are you craving some protein after a good workout? Fine. Except this time, don't make a shake and don't eat a bar. Grab a bag of beef jerky from Old Trapper. Old Trapper beef jerky is tasty. It's tender. It's made with real strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a wood fire. And it goes with you wherever you go. Make sure to look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. You can see the quality you're buying that way. Look for it in major retail stores near you. And if you don't see it, clones, just ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? He is Jason Day. Jason, nice to have you on the program. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How are you, mate?
Good, good. Jason, great to have you on. Listen, you're coming off a strong performance at the RSM Classic. You shot four straight rounds in the 60s, including a final round 65, Jason. So when you look back on that tourney, let me start you right there. What was your biggest takeaway from the event?
Yeah, I mean, I've been, you know, for the last year and a half, I've kind of been struggling with my putting, and my putting kind of showed up, which was nice. And you know, obviously touching on that, you know, a few weeks ago, I was actually, you know, doing a test on my putting stroke and kind of found a few things and, you know, I've just been trying to slowly implement them into my game. And then it really showed over the weekend, last week, which was nice. I feel like the game is there, but it's obviously we're heading into the, you know, the last event is next week. I'm not playing, but, you know, obviously it would have been nice to, you know, get this, you know, form going through the middle part of my season.
I got it. Jason Day joining us. Jason, I know the results were not necessarily what you would have liked at the Masters, but I am curious, what was the experience of playing Augusta National in November like for you without patrons?
I mean, it was good. It was fine. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was definitely wet. I mean, we had a lot of rain, but, you know, I think, I'm not sure how it looked on TV because I didn't really watch too much of it on TV. But you could definitely tell that some of the Bermuda grass was still in the golf course, just because I think 3 weeks prior when they were seeding the actual golf course, it didn't take because they had like 85-ish degrees, you know, in the temperature, and it just wasn't able to catch and grow. And that definitely kind of slowed things down. Obviously, not having the patrons there was a weird feeling. As you know, you've obviously watched Masters in the past. You can tell that, you know, the fans are there, especially when you hit a good shot. And when you're watching it on TV, you can just tell how much the fans actually do have an influence over certain guys and certain scenarios. So it was kind of strange to not actually be there and play, you know, with the patrons.
No doubt. Jason Day is joining us. Jason, I mentioned off the very top that you were working with AstraZeneca and CompleteYourDiagnosis.com.
Yeah.
This is not just some random endorsement. This is something that is extremely personal to you. And I want to be very respectful because I could understand how this could still be very painful and emotionally draining, but it's such an inspiring story and message. In early of 2017, your mother was diagnosed with stage 4 non-small cell lung cancer. The story goes that your sister called to tell you that news. What do you remember about that day?
Yeah, I mean, I remember sitting in my kitchen and, you know, everything was just like a normal day. And then my sister says, "Mom's got lung cancer and she only has 12 months to live." And I'm like, "What?" And I couldn't believe it. You know, stage 4 non-small cell lung cancer is obviously no laughing matter. I mean, all, you know, lung cancers are different, you know, it's not all the same. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, it was really strange in regards to her because she's always been a very active, very healthy person, never smoked a day in her life. And she got lung cancer, which was really, really strange. So we ended up bringing her over to the US and, you know, getting a team around. And we essentially came to biomarker testing. It helped complete a diagnosis by identifying a specific driver that caused the cancer, her cancer, to grow and spread. And through her doctors, we were able to get on a targeted therapy for her cancer, specific to her cancer. And we're very fortunate that obviously I've partnered up with AstraZeneca to get this message across about biomarker testing. And you can find more at CompleteYourDiagnosis.com. But I was very fortunate to come across biomarker testing and my mum to come across it because, you know, she's here now. She's never had Thanksgiving, Jim, or she's never experienced. And I get to spend that time with her for the first time tomorrow. So it's really, really nice to be able to have that moment with her.
Boy, that's great. Jason Day is joining us. That is so good. Now, your journey to the top of the world in golf is remarkable in and of itself, and she is an enormous part of that. As you've said, Jason, quote, she's right. The reason I'm the player I am today through her strict rule over the house, but also her work ethic is unbelievable.
Right.
How would you describe that work ethic, and then how much did you learn from your mom on the way up?
Right. So I remember, you know, it would be public holidays back home in Australia. She'd still go into work and still work. And she'd actually have a key. And she worked in shipping and export. So she'd actually go to work and still work on public holidays. And I'm like, "What are you doing? You know, it's time for you to take some time." She just couldn't, she couldn't take a break, and she's always worked very, very hard. She's the one that's always instilled, you know, the work ethic in me. I remember as a kid, you know, after my dad passed away and I started playing better golf because she sent me away to a boarding school. She's like, no girlfriends, no girlfriends. And you've got to focus on your golf. And so I listened, you know, at the time I really didn't do anything other than focus on golf. And, I owe everything, Jim, I owe everything to her because, you know, without her sacrifice and her work ethic and her strict rule over me trying to become a better golfer, I wouldn't have come over to the United States. I wouldn't have, you know, got to number one in the world. I wouldn't have met my wife and, you know, have my three kids, another one on the way. So, I mean, a lot of doors have opened up opportunity-wise based off, you know, not only her work ethic, but, you know, just kind of what she wanted me to be as an adult.
Jason, and not only that, but her grit, her toughness. I've shared the story with my listeners, but my father was diagnosed with leukemia, and this was years ago, Jason, but when my father was diagnosed with leukemia, he said, we're not telling anybody. And he fought this fight, and he ran his company, and he fought this fight, and he didn't tell his family. We didn't tell anybody. It's just a different breed. Like, your mother had been coughing up blood for a while before your sister noticed, and then everybody jumped into action. What does that tell you about your mom's toughness?
Yeah, no, she was literally coughing up blood for 3 months, and I'm sitting there, Mummy, you know, she's like, no, I'm fine. I'm like, no, there's obviously something wrong. And she's like, and she would say, you know, to me, like, you know, everything's fine, you know. And she didn't want to, like, I know that she didn't want to think about it. She was just going to fight it and go on. So she's, her extreme, she was extreme in the way that I remember, you know, growing up, and she just like, do your talking with your clubs. You don't have to have a big mouth. Just do your talking with your clubs. Focus. And she's always big on the mental part of the game. And I could tell, you know, obviously going through this personal journey with her lung cancer, how mentally tough she is, because she never wants to show any sort of pain or anything like that. Now, granted, you know, she's a strong woman. Even though she's 4'11", she's a very, very strong woman.
That's amazing. Like, so, and she beat the odds. How is she right now? And what's it been like for you to go through this whole process with her?
Jim, she's great. I mean, I was telling this funny story this morning that, you know, we were looking up YouTube videos of Bob Ross and we're doing some painting, and none of our paintings came out looking like what he was painting. But, you know, she's active. She's picking up hobbies. She's like, you know, not too long ago, she's like running again, doing everything she possibly can. So, you know, like I said, biomarker testing really helped us pave a way for her targeted treatment and for her to get on the right path.
It's an amazing story. So lay it out really quickly before you go, Jason. You are working with AstraZeneca, and CompleteYourDiagnosis.com is about biomarkers. Lay it out, and for everybody else listening, exactly what is that about?
Yeah, so you can find out more information. Anyone that's going through stage 4 non-small cell lung cancer and, you know, is just starting this journey or halfway through the journey, or just, you know, you're trying to look for another option, biomarker testing, you can get your CompleteYourDiagnosis.com. You can find out more information about biomarker testing. It identifies specific drivers with your cancer, so that hopefully they can target it through certain therapies. And, you know, I can't stress it enough, because I've been through this personal journey with my mom, and like you said, she's mentally strong and physically strong now, and it's just been amazing to watch her go through this fight. You know, I know that it's, you know, I'm not going through it. I'm going through it with her. I don't know what she's thinking, but she's one remarkable woman, and I've never seen anything stronger than that.
No, she is amazing, and I'm so glad you could share that story. Jason Day, our guest, the winner of the 2015 PGA Championship, and again, appearing courtesy of AstraZeneca and CompleteYourDiagnosis.com. Jason, so good to have you on the show, and again, thank you so much for sharing that. There's no telling how many people that may have helped.
Jim, I appreciate you letting me be on the show today.
First up, Mailman Casey tweets, Jim, My beef is with the one or more family members that complain about not having a traditional Thanksgiving feast when I am throwing down a prime rib and crab. You know, people are weird like that. People get really, really personal about stuff like that. Now, I feel you. I feel you, Case. People, like, if you threw down, if you had me over and you threw down for prime rib and crab, I'd be down. I would not be one of those guys who gets all weird about that. But people get really weird about that. So, dude, if you know that, again, Rit, why are you gesturing? You're not on TV, old man. Is that for me? Well, I don't care. Save it for the TV audience, which also doesn't care. Dude, you got bad habits, man. I've never seen a dude play to the camera like you, old man. Casey, I mean, can't you do prime rib and crab on any other day of the year? Like, they have an expectation. They want dried out white meat. Romy, I have beef with not just green bean casserole, but casseroles in general. Here's an idea. Let's dump a bunch of scraps into a pan, throw it in the oven for an hour, and then have the audacity to call it a dish. For God's sake, we're not bums. Signed, Ashley in Nebraska. Ash, you are so good, man. That's like the only bum smack I would allow, Ashley. Take a little victory lap, Ashley. Good job. That is strong. She's good. Good job, good effort. Or lady clones. Ryan in Sacktown tweets, my beef is with the guy who always hovers around me while I carve the turkey. What makes you entitled to the chef's cuts of the bird when you didn't lift a damn finger in the kitchen? That's good. That's good beef. Jim, my beef is with all the stupid people who just don't get it. Larry in Albany, that's another good beef. That's a strong beef. I agree with that. At Leprechaun 68 tweets, I drive for FedEx. My beef is with me dropping off packages for people and them asking what it is. I don't know. You ordered it. That away, Adam. I feel you. I don't know, man. Why don't you open it up? Find out. Carl in Prescott, my beef is, why is tonight the biggest drinking night of the year? Do you need to be completely hungover to laugh at jokes from your relatives that are not funny? Why? Because you don't have to do anything tomorrow except show up and eat and sleep. I mean, if there's a day to be hung, that's the day. No, I get that. I see that. I get that. I see that. Hey, Rome, my beef is that my beef is not Greg Norman's beef. Signed, Johnny Rotten. That's not a good beef. Sex Pistols are good. That's a good band. Dear Jim, my beef is with hashtag blessed mom. We get it. You feel like you were blessed because of literally everything in your life. But I don't need to see it all over my Instagram feed every day. You are hashtag blessed when you get to see the sunrise. You are hashtag blessed when you have fresh avocado toast for breakfast. You are hashtag blessed when your kid brings an A+ home from preschool. Enough already. Casey and Wisco. I love this segment. Romy, I've got beef with gas station lottery ticket guy. I'm just trying to get an 18 rack of Bush lattes after a long day. Meanwhile, local Larry is spending 10 minutes at the counter making sure his Powerball numbers are his ex-wife's birthday. Come on, man. Schaefer in Buffalo. Calling Bush Light a Bush latte is good. Wells is back. My beef is with Black Friday sales starting Thursday night or even earlier in the week. It's not Black Thursday. It's not Black Week. It's called Black Friday. Hi, Jim. You want to know what my beef is? My beef is with people standing on the escalator and not allowing anyone to pass. This is not a ride at Disneyland. Move your freaking ass. Bella B in Calgary. You know who the buttholes are? The buttholes are the people who have nothing wrong with them that stand still on the people mover at the airport when we used to go to the airport. I mean, that's a straight up butthole move. Who does that? I'm just going to just hold on to the railing off to the right and just let them transport me. Man, are you really that lazy that you can't walk? Now, I'm not even saying get off the escalator and walk on the carpet. I'm saying just walk across the escalator. Dear Rome, my beef is with stadium nacho helmets not being made out of one giant tostada shell that you can just eat your nachos with. Francis in Glendale, why don't you just eat that plastic Dodger helmet, Francis? War Rich Flores using burritos as portable speakers. All right, there we go. Let's go to the phones now. Not bad. The social always is pretty good. I'm looking for your beef. We go to Wisconsin. Susie in Wisco. Hey, Susie, what's your beef?
Hey, Jim.
Hey, Susie.
I got a beef.
You're okay. Go ahead.
All right. Hey, Jim, I got a beef with loser Packer fans that need to chill the bleep out over playing a game they had nothing to do with. And War Rogers for being the supportive teammate that he is and standing up for Valdez-Scantling. Unwar all the dopes with bad attitudes during this season of gratitude. I hope you and your family make it a great Thanksgiving, Jim. And I'm thankful for you.
Thank you, Susie. I'm thankful for you and all the listeners. Have a great Thanksgiving.
War Lady Clones.
War Lady Clones. War Wisconsin. Back at it. She was talking about him getting death threats after he fumbled the ball late. And Aaron Rodgers came on the program this week, and we talked about that. And he said that, yeah, you probably should not be on social doing things like that. Let's go this time to Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, Matt. Matt, what's your beef?
James, I have a major beef, a gout-inducing beef, if you will, with Thanksgiving dessert platters. That corn syrup concoction that is cranberry sauce and that slop that is pumpkin pie, take it all away.
That's not a good
call. No. I would just take you away instead.
You don't like that call.
Hey, Matt,
like
listen, man.
Not a very good
I've
call.
Had your back for a number of years, Matt. Honestly, when the entire world's coming for you, Matt, it's just you and me fighting like millions of people. I've always had your back. But that's where I'm going to draw the line. Do not come in here and take a run of pumpkin pie. Pumpkin pie is awesome. Pumpkin pie is awesome. Yeah, cranberry sauce, it has its place for dried out white meat. Generally, in and of itself, it does taste like ass. Like I'm not a cranberry guy at all. Man, but don't come in here and tell me the pumpkin pie sucks. Because it doesn't. Pumpkin pie is awesome. I'm not having that. Not on my show. Not on my watch. That's where I draw the line, Matthew. Let's go to Wichita. Daniel in Wichita. Daniel, what's your beef?
Hey, Romy. My beef is with Boohoo Smith-Schuster complaining about his game being moved from Thursday to Sunday. Usually these guys complain about the short turnaround from Sunday to Thursday. Now he's complaining because the league moved their game due to the Rona. Hey, Boohoo Smith-Schuster, enjoy your turkey, go clubbing with your quarterback, and quit your belly aching. War America's team beating the Squealers in Week 17. War Man LA dropping his phone into a toilet. Outro.
That might have been the best, worst call ever. Him taking a run at, quote, Boohoo Smith-Schuster. And America's team beating down the, quote, Squealers. That might have been the best, worst call ever. 1-800-636-8686. I don't remember the last time we went back-to-back to Wichita, but let's go back-to-back to Wichita. Earl in Wichita. Earl, what is your beef?
Jim, my beef is not enough Thanksgiving songs. We need something like, you can choose your sides, delicious, tasty treats. Turkey, ham at harvest time, the family takes a seat. You can gobble giblets or cornbread if you're living. I will choose my holiday, football and Thanksgiving. War League 42. Have a great holiday, Jim.
Dang, Earl, I think I will. Have yourself a great holiday if you want to. He said there's not enough good Thanksgiving songs. Is there even one Thanksgiving song other than that one? Come on now. What is your beef? We do it once a week, generally in the second segment on Wednesday. Let's go to Buffalo. I love the ladies getting involved. A lot of lady clones. Sarah in Buffalo. Nice to have you, Sarah. What's your beef?
Hi, Jim. My beef is Top Gun 2. It was supposed to come out last Christmas, then it got postponed to summer. Now we don't know when it's coming out. That's
Seriously.
My beef.
I got it, Sarah. Thank you very much. That's my beef. Don't wear it out. That's my beef. I'm sticking to it. If you've been checking me out on Instagram, I've been going hard, hard on the Peloton. And, you know, I take the class and I check out the class and I, you know, I pay great respect to the teachers, the instructors. I got to admit, I was flipping around the TV the other day and I saw John Wick 3. I did turn down the teacher on that particular ride to get a little wick. You know, when I first saw the Top Gun was coming out as a sequel, I thought, man, that's the worst idea ever. But I got to admit, I've kind of come around to it. And when I saw that trailer, I'm like, you know what? This could work. This could work. Somehow my dude, Ethan Hunt, you know, I know I'm mixing characters, but I was also watching Mission Impossible 3 the other day. Things like this are always on. Bourne is always on. Mission Impossible is always on. Somehow Hunt has reversed the aging process. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt as an instructor for Top Gun. Let's go back to the phones quickly. We go to Omaha. Here we go. Kathleen in Omaha. Kathleen, what's your beef?
With Justin Herbert for what he did to his hair. His hair, well, his hair don't even compare to what Johannes Ekerstrom has. His hair is way longer. His hair is longer than mine. It's like he messed up his gorgeous hair. And it's like, can everybody lay off the kid for having acne? I'm almost 31, and I'm still dealing with acne. Back off of him for the acne. But the hair, ugh, can't stand it.
Nice job, Kathleen. Good job.
War lady clone.
Back off the kid for his acne. She just said it. I'm almost 31, and I got acne. Leave him alone. But why'd he cut off his beautiful hair? Why to accentuate his acne? I don't know why. Now, actually, you probably thought it would help, right? You don't have all that greasy hair in your face all the time. Who cares? Let me hit you with a pretty alarming stat. Did you know that a fire department responds to a fire every 24 seconds? So we have teamed up with First Alert, the most trusted brand in fire safety, to help you be ready for the unexpected and to review some key safety tips. Smoke and carbon monoxide alarms help provide an early warning in the event of a home emergency. And having enough First Alert smoke and carbon monoxide alarms is one of the very best things that you can do to protect your family and your home. Just be sure to install alarms on every single level and in every bedroom. And once they are installed, it's important to maintain them by testing them with regularity. Also, remember, the alarms do not last forever, and they do need to be replaced at least every 10 years. For a replacement option, I'm going to go with First Alert's combination smoke and carbon monoxide alarm with a 10-year sealed battery. Obviously, the alarm provides great 2-in-1 protection against smoke and carbon monoxide, and I don't have to sweat changing the batteries for an entire decade. Lastly, take this time to discuss home safety with your family. Be sure to plan and practice an escape route, and remember to practice it at least twice a year. And for more information on fire safety products, safety tips, and educational activities that you can do at home with your family, just go to firstalert.com/fireprevention month. Again, that's firstalert.com/fireprevention month. He is Mark Sanchez. Mark, it's been a minute or two. Great to have you back. How are you doing? How is your life right now?
Way too long. Thanks for having me back, Rome. Shout out to the clones. What's going on?
My man, I love that. I love that. It's good to have you back. It's been way too long. So how you living, Mark? How are things?
Oh, things are great. I'm living vicariously through you, man, watching you out on the lake on your Instagram, crushing some Heinekens.
It's a good life, right?
Lake life is awesome, dude. You look happy. You're kicking butt. Everything's great. I mean, some of my fondest memories are me and my dad driving down to our place in Ensenada, in our truck, listening to the old school Extra Sports 690, And, you know, it was Philly Billy Warndell talking about Tony Gwynn and the Padres, and then Romy hearing you rack them. All that. We loved it, man. We love listening to your show, so this is great.
You are the absolute best, man. I appreciate that so much. Mark Sanchez joining us. Now, Mark, I'm not at all surprised to be saying this, given the conversations you and I had in the past, but you've made the transition into being an analyst look very smooth and not that hard. What's the process been like for you, and how are you enjoying that gig?
Oh, I really am enjoying it. I appreciate you saying that. Somebody with your experience noticing that means a lot. To be totally honest, you know, it was so different than football. And when you get on this side, essentially when you cross over, whether it's TV, radio, podcast, all that kind of stuff, I feel like people kind of expect you to know exactly what's going on, and there's very little communication of what exactly you're expected to do.
Hmm.
You know, wearing an IFB, the little thing that goes in your ear, you know, I get to the first day at ESPN, they're like, okay, you know, we'll see you at DC at 11 o'clock. And I'm like, all right, what's DC2? Is there like some sort of orientation? Like,
right.
You know, for football, they literally tell you, like, be here at 8:30. Here's the plays you got to know. Here's the footwork you got to know. Here's the film you have to watch. Be ready for that. And this is when we're done, and we'll send your ass home, kind of thing. And so for TV, they just kind of expect you to know. And they say, hey, it sounds silly, but hey, you have a 30-second answer. You have a 15-second answer here, or, you know, and you're trying to figure out what that means. How much information can I put in that segment? And I got to essentially land the plane at the end of it and give it back to either the host or my colleague that we're having a discussion with. So it's some of it comes natural, but a lot of it you just need reps. And this has been really fun for me. And, you know, I got the best advice from, you know, guys like Kevin Negandhi, listening to people like you, listening to a guy, Herm Edwards. He gave me my favorite piece of advice so far. He just said, listen, at the end of the day, somebody's going to ask you a football question. You just give them a football answer and smile.
That
said,
is so
all right,
good.
Herb, thanks a lot.
That is good. Mark Sanchez joining us. That's a great description. You broke that down perfectly. You're right. Like, when you live that structured life, you know exactly where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, what you have to do. And then all of a sudden you're done, and they just kind of throw you out there. And it's tougher than
no
it looks.
Doubt.
You're right. Listen, Mark, let me ask you this. Take me back to when you first got to the Jets. As a rookie, you lead them to the AFC Championship game. Then you do it again the next year. You're in your early 20s. You're the face of that franchise. I mean, what a time of life that must have been like. What was that like for you?
Oh, man. It was pretty special. One, we had a great team, great veteran leadership that helped me a lot as a young player. You know, good running game, good defense. Then we got some other players that second year that was, you know, chronicled on Hard Knocks, and it was such a good behind-the-scenes look at the way our team really was and how much fun we had playing for Rex. But some of my favorite times were in the locker room, on the plane ride, you know, playing cards with the guys, just because we became a family. It's transcended sports and football, and that group got really, really close, and really close to getting to the Super Bowl, which was frustrating, but some times that I'll cherish forever. I think, you know, when you win in New York, the world is your oyster, and you really do have the world by the tail. It was an incredible time. But, you know, some of my favorite, one of the speeches from Rex that never made Hard Knocks that was still one of my favorite, he says, all right, let's go get a snack. And we break the meeting. And this is like the first night of training camp. And then he says, oh, wait, I forgot. Everybody back in here. And so we filed back into the meeting room. He goes, I forgot. All right, listen, I'm not promoting fights. I'm not condoning fights. But listen, if a fight breaks out, three rules. One, find the quarterbacks in the red jerseys, get them the hell out of there. Two, strap up your helmet. If I see anybody take off their helmet in a fight, you're kicked out of practice. And three, no punching people in the helmet, body blows only. All right, that's it. Go get a snack.
Wow, that is so good. That is so good.
It was stuff like that, you know, things that you'll remember forever, and so much fun we had with guys like Mangold and, you know, the Braylon Edwards and Jericho Cotries and all those guys. It was awesome.
Mark Sanchez joining us. You have no idea. That is such gold, what you just did. The fact that you worked in a story without me prompting the story, that is gold, dude. That is gold. Now, you can't do that when they say to you, you have 30 seconds, get in, get out.
Exactly.
But you know, you'll learn about the business, Mark. You understand this probably already, but you just have to know your room. You start dropping that in a podcast, that's absolute gold. Now, when you mention the locker room and you mention the running backs, for instance, you were talking recently about locker mate with Thomas Jones. Now, Thomas Jones has always been an amazing source of fascination to me, Mark. I love this guy. And for whatever reason, he and I always had a really good relationship. But that is an intimidating dude. Now, what was that experience like, lockering up with this guy next to you? How much did the two of you talk at that point?
I don't know if he said more than 10 words to me.
Right.
Until we were, you know, midway through the playoffs, maybe into our second game. And, you know, he's just a quiet dude, you know, keeps to himself, works his butt off, expects a lot out of everyone because he's giving that effort, you know, so he's not going to demand anything out of anybody else that he doesn't put out himself. So he's that kind of guy, but you're right. He's intimidating. I mean, he's just jacked, and he looks like a freaking Bowflex commercial. He's tatted up and just a quiet dude, ready to work, ready to grind, and he'll just knock your head off in practice. So I was like, hey, what's up? You like TJ or what, you know, what do you want to go by kind of thing? And you just kind of look at me like, man, hurry up. When you do your interviews, hurry up because these reporters are going to come clowning around your locker room and crowding my space, so hurry up.
That is
I was just
great.
Like, all right, yes, sir.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Yeah, he was one of the best guys on our team and worked so hard. He was the one giving us the pregame speeches the night before the games, and because he'd been to a Super Bowl before, and he was just reminding people what you're working for, what you're sacrificing for during the week, and you know, giving up that little extra time at home with your family to achieve something that maybe you'll never get a chance to do again. And he just had this way of conveying it to the guys that you're ready to just jump out of your skin and play. And it was so inspirational. So I was thankful for him.
Yeah, no, I'm glad to hear that too. And it's kind of hard for me to imagine because he is so quiet and so intense and so focused why he was comfortable on the show, but he would come on and I was always mesmerized by this guy. He had this crazy it and this presence to him. Now, you were on the Gangs All Here podcast recently, and you told this great story about Nick Mangold, somebody just mentioned, from your time with the Jets. The story goes that you guys would be in meetings, and Nick would ask Tim Tebow a question about the Bible or theology, but he would give you the heads up first. Is that the case, and what was your reaction? Like, how did those discussions go?
So, yeah, you got to understand, like, Tim, you know, he's, like, leader of Bible study. He's the real deal. That's the most important thing to know. Like, it's not some facade. He knows his stuff. He knows his theology. He's convicted. And it's awesome to see. He was a great teammate, worked his butt off. It was just a weird situation for both of us, right? Because, you know, I'm supposed to be the franchise guy, but they bring in this other guy. And I think under any other circumstances, we would have, you know, meshed really well. And because I really did like him, and I think he liked me too. So it would have been great. But in that circumstance, only one guy can play. So it's just a little weird. Well, Nick, being funny like he is and aware and cognizant of the situation, he would just, you know, like to make people uncomfortable and mess around. And so we'd go into these meetings. This was just quarterbacks and centers. And we'd go through protection stuff on Wednesdays and Thursdays, talking about, you know, third downs and whatever, any kind of exotic blitzes we're going to see just to make sure we're on the same page and identify them correctly for the game. Well, Nick would come in. And he would say, hey, I'm going to ask Tebow some Bible questions. Are you ready? And I'm like, dude, can we get through the third downs, please? First, please, before you go holy war on me and drop just a bomb in here.
Wow.
Because then we're not going to get anything done. And these conversations would go for like an hour, you know? And he would ask like hardcore questions. Well, you know, Nick would go look up something online. And
this guy.
Be like, well, why did, you know, Isaac get the blessing instead of Ishmael and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, he wrestled with the angel and that's why his name means this and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my God, you guys, really? Are we doing this right now? Can we just finish 10 more plays and then you guys can have at it?
That's amazing. Like, was he, did Tebow know? I mean, did he feel disrespected or was he like, no, we're having a conversation. This is good.
Nick did it in a playful way. And, you know, Tim knew he was joking, but also knew what he knows, like, right? He knows the information he has and what he believes. And so it's impressive because, I mean, I've seen him speak as a pastor and stuff. He's incredible. You know, like, he's one of those inspirational guys that can, you know, essentially get people to, like, move mountains and stuff. Like, he's that kind of guy. And so very engaging. And
he also has the information to back it up, you know? So it was, you know, Nick would just try and get under his skin, and he knew it was getting under my skin because we're trying to get something done, so.
And then he loved it, and that's a good day for Nick.
Oh, dude, he loved it.
He loved it.
He loved it.
He knew what he was doing. Mark Sanchez joining us. This is a blast. All right, so, Mark, what about a few weeks back you made the point that the 49ers should pick up Sam Darnold. Like, what's your sense as to how the time has gone for him in New York, and what do you think about a possible fit in San Francisco? Why would that make sense?
Oh, man, I just think that system would be great for him. It's a West Coast-based system. I think just because he's got that fifth-year option that I doubt the team will exercise because they'd have to pay him, you know, upwards of $20-something million. And because of his circumstances, I don't think anybody's going to pay him that right now. So the team wouldn't have to pick up his fifth-year option. He'd probably be on – they'd be on the hook for high threes, maybe low $4 million, and be able to keep Jimmy or, you know, and add Sam or get Sam and add somebody else kind of thing. But I just felt like it would be an opportunity for him to get a fresh start at a place that's going to build around him with, you know, management and stuff that are really going to focus on him. And for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked out there in New York. I think a lot of that is out of his control, but he's shown enough flashes, in my opinion. Obviously, I'm a little biased. He's a USC guy. He's an Orange County guy, so I want him to do well. But I think he's shown enough flashes to build around and to seriously build around. Not, you know, what they're doing right now is ridiculous. Like, he doesn't have a shot, and he's still making plays. So that's why I just think you give this kid a real opportunity, put some players around him with a good organization, and give him a chance to play.
I mean, like, Mark, to that point, Mark Sanchez joins me for a few more moments. How important is it for the success of any young quarterback that it's about being with the right staff, the right team, the right organization, the right scheme, all of those things? How important is that?
It's so pivotal for these young guys to land in the right spot and have the guy either ahead of them and give them a chance to sit. Look at Mahomes. Mahomes turned the ball over a lot in college. I feel like this is one of the best examples, right? Turned the ball over a ton in college. He gets the NFL, he's in Kansas City, and he's behind Alex Smith, who's one of the best at taking care of the football. And all of a sudden, Mahomes has the best. He leads the league in, like, all the important categories right now, touchdown, interception rating, you know, all that right now. But he learned that somewhere, right? And they put him in a system where Andy Reid gave him the basics to this West Coast system. You can see these plays. They're still running, you know, shallow cross. They're still running drive. They're still running Hank. It's all the exact same plays, literally, that Joe Montana and Steve Young ran. So they're spicing them up a little bit with really good athletes in motion and formations. But it's Travis Kelce running the deep middle hook, the same one that Dwight Clark used to run. So it's not like this is they're reinventing the wheel. They just put him in a great system. And now when things don't work out perfectly with the read and his footwork, they're like, hey, you got a little flexibility. Go make a play with your athleticism, but stay within our system, right? And they've kind of adapted the system to him, and he's adapted to the system, right? It goes both ways. Because you get a lot of these coordinators now that are like, this is the offense. You know, I don't care what kind of players we have. This is our offense. Well, that doesn't really work. You got to work with what you got. Look at what McDaniels has done in New England. Sometimes it's a two tight end system. Now they're working with Cam Newton. Sometimes it's, you know, the shorter, quicker receiver, slot receiver guys, the Wes Welkers, the, you know, Julian Edelman. Like, he can adapt to his players. So that's huge. But all that matters for a quarterback when you get in that system. I just think Mahomes is the greatest example.
Dude, you are so on this. You are so dialed in. Listen, Mark, one last thought, because you mentioned Orange County and USC and quarterbacks, and you can relate to this because I know that you know. It was long before the pandemic. I want to say it was maybe a year and a half ago. We're at Javier's in Crystal Cove one night, and I'm with the fam, and Janet says to me, there's somebody behind you. Don't look, don't look, don't look. There's somebody behind you, and I don't know who it is, but it's somebody, because there's just this energy. There's a buzz, and there's somebody here. I'm like, all right, I'm going to look. She's like, no, no, don't look, don't look, don't look. And I'm thinking, who could this be? Who could this be? Dude, it was one of the greatest moments ever in the history of Orange County. He gets up, and I turn around. Dude, Andy Reid. At Javier's.
Oh, I love it.
Andy Reid.
He's got a spot right down here.
Oh, I know it. I know it. But he's really, you know what? He's kind of private about that, and I've never seen that. And I hit him with Andy, you know, because he's also been such a great jungle guy over the years. But since he got to Kansas City, we had a little trouble turning the interview around. And I said that to him. He's like, no problem. You call them up, you tell them you saw me, and we'll do this thing. But, dude, what's a better sighting than Andy Reid at Javier's?
So I got another one, and I got one for you. This isn't a one-upper story, but it is a Kobe Bryant story, RIP, because I loved Kobe. But that's where I first met him after my rookie year in New York at Javier's, and he was picking up food to go, and I was waiting to get a table. And he walked over to me, and my buddy kind of tapped me, and he goes, "Oh, my God, Kobe Bryant's walking over here." And I looked at him, I was like, "What? Oh, my God." And he came over, he goes, "Yo, man, I saw what you're doing out there in New York. Keep talking that smack, man. I love your coach. Keep playing hard." I was like, "Oh, my God." Try not to just piss my pants, right? Because I grew up watching Kobe. But Javier's is that place. Like, you see the athletes, you see entertainers, and it's one of my favorite places in the whole world. And I get to go practice my Spanish. But, yeah, I totally see Andy Reid there having a ball and everybody loving it.
Dude, I love that story so much. I love that story for two reasons. One, I love your reaction as a high-level elite professional athlete responding to Kobe the same way. And I'm not looking to one-up your one-up, Mark, but I knew Kobe a little bit, and I'm telling you, I'd prep and I'd be in my home office, and it didn't happen a lot, but I'm going to say it happened maybe three or four times over the years. He'd blow me up. He'd be like, "Yo, bro, meet me at Javier's," and this would be the one guy that, I'm not going to lie to you, Mark, like, I would drop everything. No matter what I was doing, I'm like, I'm gone.
100%.
And I would go. And then he, you know, he'd have like one Jello shot, maybe, like super disciplined. But man, he loved Javier's. And if talking about Javier's, dude, the only better sighting than Andy Reid, not better than Kobe, because Kobe is the best, you're right, but the only thing even close is Javier himself. You ever see Javier at Javier's?
It's the best. I usually see young Javi, but it's awesome. It's the best. It's such a great atmosphere. If you haven't been there and you're in SoCal, you got to get there when all this stuff opens up again.
Yeah, dude, you sound amazing. So last thought, you were the baby alien on The Masked Singer, right? How did that come to be, and what was that experience like?
So the casting director is this gal named Dina Katz, who is amazing. And she does Dancing with the Stars, and she also does Masked Singer. And she asked years ago about Dancing with the Stars, and I'm like, you know, I'm not like a real dancer, and, you know, I don't think I'm like a professional singer or anything, don't get me wrong, but I was like, hey, you know, I love to karaoke. If you guys ever get a karaoke show, I'm in. And this was, you know, 6-7 years ago. And she finally came back and was like, hey, can you do it? Would you want to do the show? So I looked into it. I was like, oh, my God, this is perfect. I'm in. And so they were giving me costume ideas. Well, I didn't know it was going to be this involved. I had to do Zooms with a puppeteering coach for, you know, I probably had 12 hours of Zoom practice.
Wow.
with a puppeteer coach who was on like Crank Yankers and, you know, the Muppets and all that kind of stuff. And essentially getting me to inject personality into this puppet so it comes to life kind of thing. And then on top of that, I was wearing this heavy costume and then singing. And so I'm running around my house with this puppet and a heavy backpack. And the Sonos on, trying to sing, and my kid, my 3.5-year-old kid, is looking at me like I'm crazy. So then he finally sees on the show that it was me, and it all kind of made sense. So it was an absolute blast learning some new skills and got to meet a lot of people. So I was grateful for the opportunity.
I was going
to
say, what a blast that must have been. A 10-year NFL vet, a first-team all-conference player out of USC. You can see him on ESPN, ABC, Showtime, the pride of Mission Viejo, and an absolute jungle legend. Mark, man, it is so great to get caught up with you. I don't know why we didn't do that sooner, but you sound great. I'm proud of you, and it's so good to have you back in the jungle, man.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me. Happy Thanksgiving. Clones, hang in there. We'll get through this pandemic. We'll get through it, baby.
Let's do this thing. It's on a Wednesday. Generally, it's on a Friday. Head, how you living?
Wonderful after that great call by Brad. I was somehow curious why he ran him, though.
Yeah, somehow I knew you'd like that. Somehow I knew that'd be right up your alley. I knew you'd like that. How you living after that unbelievable performance you had last week when you put a number on violence at the workplace? How much has your life changed since you did that?
It's changed quite a bit, Jim. And if I was in Vegas, I think I would have been fired because the line was a horrible line. I had it -220 for writ. And it sounds like it should have been about -960 for the old man taking it to Hawk.
There you go. 960, as in 96% of the vote went to the old man. Hey, listen, really quick before we get into this, one side note. So Jake Rome is home from college, fully equipped to get down online, but he's more about casino games.
Everybody get
than he is actual games like the rest of us. And isn't that great? My college kid gambles online. Perfect. He then introduces the notion to his mother, Janet. Janet loves her some roulette in Vegas. So you might be thinking, Head, the family that gambles together stays together? Except I'm mortified because they're both out there in the kitchen on their lappers. Like you and I, if we get games, at least that'll get us a few hours, right? To lose our money. Not cards, not roulette. Janet opens up an account, drops a couple of bones, begins to play online roulette. And I was like, oh, hell no. What if she likes it? Luckily, James, she got her ass kicked, went right through her bankroll in a matter of moments, and then pushed away from the table saying, lesson learned, I won't be doing that ever again. Yeah, lesson learned, scud avoided. This gambling game is hard, dog. Am I right?
Dude, the family that gambles together stays together? That should be the Rome family Christmas card. And it sounds like Janet's a little bit smarter than most of us listening right
now. Man, I'm so glad.
That's good discipline right there.
Oh, no, dude, I'm so glad. I thought for sure she was going to fall in love with it, and I never would have pulled her away from it, right? Right? All right, so it's Thanksgiving. You know what that means. Let's get right into it. It's Thanksgiving. Man, I'm so glad she didn't like it. That means the Lions are on the box. It also probably means that they will lose. They generally do on Thanksgiving. Right now, they're +2. In fact, +2.5 against the Texans. Are you on that game? And if so, who you got?
Yeah, so there's a strong trend right now of favorites hitting the past few years on Thanksgiving. And that's probably because Detroit's playing, Jim. And I'm riding that. And I'm going to H-Town -2.5 here. Houston is 3-3 their last six games. They also have no incentives to lose as an organization. Bob traded all those picks away. And right now, the Texans' defense that has been horrendous this season, they are actually playing a lot better, and they have allowed the fourth fewest points over the past three games, Jim, in the entire NFL. Also, New England struggled to get to Deshaun Watson last week, so Matt Patricia's defense will have the same problems because they can't get after the quarterback. And Deshaun Watson, he's been incredible. He's having a career year. I think the Lions players have had enough of the hobo. Houston -2.5.
The hobo. Houston -2.5. I like that number. All right. Then you've got the crap fest that is Dallas v. Washington. Two terrible teams that actually have a great look at winning a terrible division. Miraculously, this is actually an important game for both. Does it interest you from a gambling entertainment perspective? If so, how are you playing that game?
Yeah, so if I'm having this game on, I'm going to hit it, and I'm going to hit the Cowboys at -2.5. Now, Dallas has looked better their last two games. They beat Minnesota, and they played Pittsburgh tough before that. Strange Zeke is the key tomorrow. He finally ran for over 100 yards for the first time this season last week, and that's the blueprint to beat Washington here. You have to run the football. The Cowboys, they've reshuffled their line. They need to be solid against that Washington pass rush, and also the Dallas D, it's been awful like the Texans, but as of late, they have been better, and they're not doing as many dumb things, I should say. Their past three games, they've actually had a top 10 run D. Washington did not look good against Cincinnati a week ago. I'm taking Mike McCarthy, his lame and weird watermelon motivation, and I'm going Dallas -2.5.
Yeah, but it worked. Hey, you know what's dumb? Speaking of dumb things, playing online roulette. Really dumb.
How long did it take? 5-10 minutes?
Jana went through her bankroll maybe in 7 minutes. Maybe.
Oh, my gosh.
And then she gets up to pour a glass of wine. I'm like, oh, perfect. That's what you want to do. You want to hit that roulette addiction with alcohol.
Double down, Janet.
Dude,
there you go.
So glad she pushed away from the table. All right, Titans-Indy, big AFC South showdown. Indy nearly choked away that win against Green Bay. The Titans have been better of late. You can get them +3. Which way are you leaning?
Okay, so 2 weeks ago I hit Indy when those two teams first played, but I'm going to go the opposite here, and I'm going to go take the points, the +3 and the Titans. Indy's had a three-tough game stretch right here, Jim, with Baltimore, the Titans, and then on Sunday, like you just said, against the Packers. They've won them all, but the Titans' special teams killed them in the first meeting. I think they tighten that up and ride their second-half overtime momentum against Baltimore from last week. The blueprint, as always, is Derrick Henry. He rushed for 100 yards against the Colts in Game 1. Now, the biggest thing for the Titans this week and all year is to get A.J. Brown more involved in the game plan. Last time against the Colts, he had one reception on four targets. This guy's a beast. He's tough, he's physical, and so is his team. The money is coming in big on the Titans, and so am I. I'm taking +3 in Tennessee.
All right, so really quickly, big head bets. He's got Texans -2.5. He's got Cowboys -2.5. He's got Titans +3. You know, in your best interest, you should probably just walk away after breaking down that workplace violence matchup between Ritt and Hawk. However, I know you won't because you're addicted to your own voice. Are there any other games or any other things that you're looking at to hit this weekend?
Yeah, in honor of the Ritt v. Hawk Fister gym, the Conor McGregor v. Dustin Poirier line came out, and it's around that first line that I set for the old man taking down Hawk at -220 to beat Dustin. It just came out. Conor's probably going to win that fight. It's going to be a lot better fight than the last time. Also, NBA title odds. They have actually been updated because of free agency, and to no surprise, the Lakers are actually the favorite here at +300. But a surprise team is second, which is interesting to me, and it's Brooklyn ahead of Milwaukee, Miami, the Clippers. They're actually at a +575, so Vegas must be thinking there's something to those James Harden rumors. So I don't think I'm going to hit that. I think the Lakers are pretty much the clear favorite right now, as of now. So +300 for the Lakers looks pretty good.
All right, so I like the fact that you broke down Dustin and Conor, but that fight's not until January. So how do you approach that? Would you hit that right now?
I'll wait, but I will hit it at the end of the day. I still think Conor wins this fight. He beat him the first time out. He finished him. But Dustin's a much better fighter than he was the first time, and they're fighting at a bigger weight. Last time was 145. I'm sure this one will be at 155. It'll be an exciting fight. It'll be a stand-up fight. And when it usually stands on the feet, Conor's a man there. I like Conor here.
He can strike. We know this.
Yes.
Have you ever ventured into an online casino? Not a sports book, not the games, but to play cards, to play blackjack, to play roulette, to play keno, anything like that?
My college days a little bit, but I learned not as fast as Janet, but I learned pretty quick not to be in there at all. I love the casinos. I love going playing the tables there, but no thanks online.
All right, so what's the big plan for Big Head, the Big Head dinner on Thanksgiving?
Family.
No way.
A couple Stellas with Grandma, like the last emailer there.
Well, Grandma, did she knock down Stellas?
Horrible football.
Okay, there you go. Big Head bets. James Kelly, thank you very much. You've got a gigantic head with tremendous insight inside of it. Appreciate it, man. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, boss.
Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. What's going on? Hope you had an awesome weekend. Great to be with you on this short week. Let's get it.
If you want to call the program,
you can do so, but you got to get through Adam Hawk.
Looks like Mr. Rogers.
What's up, dude? You in the neighborhood?
Look at that red sweater.
Cleaned up on cardigans.
Yes! Into the end zone! Wow! How did he do it? Wow! Touchdown, Titans!
Man, what a bizarre day for the Ravens. Everything about the Ravens is weird. From Harbaugh jawing with Malcolm Butler about the logo,
shipping it,
to blowing a double-digit second-half lead, to Lamar Jackson.
I feel like, you know, we just took our foot off the gas.
Mahomes throws for the end zone, got a man wide open, it's Kelce! Touchdown, Kansas City!
This is why you do not take a victory lap in Week 5. Head down, mask up. Keep moving.
James Harden!
I just don't think that Andy is going to tell his bus driver to circle around the PF Chang's before pointing that thing back to KC. Austin Hooper is back in the jungle.
What's up, brother? Good. Just enjoying the Victory Monday. How you doing?
Dude, you took it right out of my mouth.
It's great, buddy. Both of us being West Coast guys, you know, a little chilly in this part of the country, but still feels great, you know, being a Victory Monday.
They're singing. Go, Hawk, go. Put Ritt in a nursing home.
Uh-oh.
Garrett Ritt, hey, what do you say? Put on the gloves and put down that cake.
Hey, Ritt, instead of kicking Adam's ass, why don't you come up and give him a little shoulder massage? No? Adam.
Just kidding.
Burrow is down.
Joe's hurt.
And he's grabbing his left knee,
oh,
and he's
God.
In pain.
Oh,
and just because the guy kept getting up from all the hits until yesterday doesn't mean that it was working. That was a sickening injury. Hate to see that. We are joined by Mike Silver.
I know that when you go on television, you're rocking like a little bit more 70s, 80s Jim Rome look right now. And I kind of like it.
Appreciate it. Let's go to Green Bay this time. Hey, Shane, how are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Shane, you are on the air right now. Talk to me. Yo, what's up? And now you're not. Be ready. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
James Kelly is money with his football picks. Listen up or you will crap out.
He is Chris Mannix.
I think you have to look at the Lakers coming off their championship, despite the around-the-fringe changes, to be the favorite in the conference and the favorite, frankly, to win the whole thing.
Gentle pass in the end zone. Caught, touchdown, Woods.
Put some respect on the L.A. Rams. When you're running down the list of contenders in the NFC, you better have their name near the top. We're talking to Jonathan Jones.
I don't trust the Bucs. The only team at the top of the NFC that I trust is the New Orleans Saints.
Touchdown! Taysom Hill!
How do you think Sean Payton was feeling?
Yeah, he's feeling real good about it, right? Hey, I told you so.
Talking to Aaron Rodgers.
My advice to our guys would be maybe put down the social media, whether it's coming off a great game or coming off a game where you made a mistake.
Put down the social media this time of year.
I'd say in general, I think it's a dangerous slope to be on to continue to need that instant gratification from the social media warriors.
When my wife and I are enjoying the Silver Oak and the Trefethen and all the fine cheeses and charcuteries, I'll be thinking about you guys.
This Ritt guy's got to be a fat slob.
Glover Quinn.
It's just a huge tradition in Detroit, that Thanksgiving game. Both teams are kind of struggling right now.
Struggling.
Just raise your knives, bloody your hands, and feast. Feast, damn you. And know that when you wake up Friday, your football team will be cleansed of its football sins, and you will have renewed hope for a bountiful football harvest.
Want me to talk about a 64-year-old Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols bringing squirrels into his Venice Beach home and then getting bit on his literal Sex Pistol.
The only thing left for Greg to choke is that massive ostrich in his pants.
So if you like this show, don't do that.
Better don't.
That never happened. I'm just waiting for a call from the suit during the break.
No!
Turkey and ham.
Get the hell out of here. You're joking, right?
Is there anything that he won't hit ketchup with? What, Wheaties? Donuts?
Donuts.
Brad in Corona.
I just don't know that I'd be taking something like that to the beach, you know? How do you even clean that thing out when you're done? You just stand up and shake it off like some big beach.
Anytime, Alvin. What were you waiting for? Big head bets.
Deshaun Watson. He's been incredible. He's having a career year. I think the Lions players have had enough of the hobo. Houston minus 2.5.
Dude, I get so much sex. It's incredible. Why do you keep telling me that? It's not working.
And that flop that is pumpkin pie. Take it all away.
Do not come in here and take a run of pumpkin pie. Pumpkin pie is awesome.
Or America's team beating the Squealers in week 17.
You can gobble giblets or cornbread if you're living. I will choose my holiday, football and Thanksgiving.
Can everybody lay out the care for having acne? I'm almost 31 and I'm still dealing with acne.
He is Mark Sanchez.
Shout out to the clones. What's going on?
How are things?
Living vicariously through you, man. Watching you out on the lake on your Instagram. Some of my fondest memories are me and my dad driving in our truck listening to the old school Extra Sports 690. Romy. Hearing you rack them.
Boo-hoo Smith-Schuster.
Bob Ross.
Chris Mullin.
Chris Mullin.
Love you, man.
He just came out like a missile.
Bug bite on his heart.
And I'm thankful for you.
Your show has been a beacon of hope.
Kicker's pretty jacked, man.
Ostrich smack.
Real G's moving silence like lasagna.
Hey, America. Happy Thanksgiving.
Try not to just piss my pants.
Always good to talk to you, Aaron. Thank you.
Yeah, I love you, buddy. You're the best.
Good night now. Good night now.